Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Presenting to you today from the studio is Tom McEncrow. In today's show, we will be looking at Czechoslovak exile scouting, the movement that kept together many of the Czechoslovak émigrés during the Cold War and still remains active in various forms among their descendants. Once a sizable organisation that stretched across many Western European countries, Czechoslovak exile scouting is a relatively little-known phenomenon today. However, for many Czech émigrés, it remains the source of some of their most beautiful memories. It was a way of bringing Czechs who had escaped the communist regime together and maintaining the country's unique scout identity. Even today, offshoots of the organisation remain valuable tools for keeping the knowledge of Czech language and culture among the second and third generation of émigré children. Founded by Antonín Benjamín Svojcík in 1911, Czech scouting faced two major challenges to its existence in the 20th century. The first came with the Nazi occupation of Bohemia and Moravia, during which scouting was banned in the country. The second was in the form of another totalitarian regime, communism, during which the Czech scouts were gradually snuffed out through forced integration into their politicised communist equivalent, the Pioneers. Today's scouts organisation in the Czech Republic often stresses that its members manage to continue to stay true to their ideals through underground activities, but little is generally said of another branch of Czech scouting that formed in response to the realities of the Cold War, namely Czechoslovak exile scouting. The man who seems to have been most responsible for this organisation was Velen van der Leek, a Czech scouts leader from a family of Dutch origin who was forced to escape Czechoslovakia twice during his life, first when it was controlled by the Nazis and later when the communists seized power. During World War II, van der Leek first helped Czechoslovaks fleeing Nazi-occupied Bohemia and Moravia get into France, and after studying law in England, was part of the team that prosecuted Nazi war criminals in the Nuremberg trials. He returned to Czechoslovakia after the war and set up his own law firm, but was forced to escape into exile again in 1947, after he found out he was on the list of persons to be arrested by the communist-infiltrated Secret Service. Scouting had experienced a brief boom in Czechoslovakia before the communist takeover, reaching some 250,000 registered members between 1945 and 1948. However, it became the target of repression again after the February coup of 1948. In the subsequent years, two show trials were led against the scout leadership after several of its members were found to be taking part in resistance activities against the regime. Those who stayed in the country were often caught and forced to take part in propaganda show trials. Even those who did escape were sentenced in absence, among them van der Leek himself. An archival recording from one of these trials, dated to October 15, 1952, shows how the scouts were viewed by the Czechoslovak communists through the words of prosecutor Vladimír Bureš.
Jedním z takových nástrojů buržoázie pro šíření buržoázní ideologie.
One of the instruments of the bourgeoisie aimed at furthering its ideology and negating the class battle, especially among young people, is the scout movement. It was founded by British General Baden-Powell in England at the end of the 19th century, originally as a militarist organization aimed at preparing the youth for service in the British colonial army and police. At these scout camps, young British boys were trained in special disciplines that were needed by military or police reconnaissance units in colonial possessions.
Van der Leek escaped first to Germany and eventually settled in Canada, where he got an education degree and became a teacher. The Communist Intelligence Services continued to hunt him for 15 years, but never found his location. Despite being a marked man, van der Leek never ceased in his activity to keep the Czechoslovak scouts alive. Already while in Germany, van der Leek and his colleagues founded an exile Czechoslovak scouting magazine called Skautská stopa, or Scout's Trail. Later in Canada, he wrote several scouts' handbooks and sought to re-establish the organisation in some form under the uneasy conditions of the Cold War. Several times, van der Leek spoke on Radio Free Europe, recounting the Scout movement during the First Republic era. In one of these speeches that survive, he stressed the cultural strength of the Czechoslovak Scout organization.
Our camps were full of singing, music, and the reciting of tales. Our campfires were, in the true sense of the word, a theater performance that you would not find anywhere else in the world. Our boys lived culture, and our boys and girls also had great creative talent. Just look at our journals and unit books. When I led the head of the International Scouts Organization, Mr. Wilson, through Prague and Czechoslovakia, he was highly impressed by the beautiful books of our units, which he, a man who had traveled across the world, had never seen before.
In 1969,
together with Josef Kratochvíl, van der Leek founded the preparatory headquarters for Czechoslovak exile scouting. The timing of the decision had not come out of the blue, but was closely connected to the events of the previous year. In 1968, armies of the Warsaw Pact invaded Czechoslovakia, and there was now a sufficient source of people from which to establish the movement, says one of the organization's later members, Václav Pavlovec, who has been researching the history of the exile scouts through sources such as its unfinished chronicle.
There was a very strong connection because, you know, a few hundred thousand people fled after 1968, and many of them were active scouts, leaders, and they wanted to continue in our own tradition. So they connected, and that's why this happened in 1969. This was clearly for this reason.
Scouting had been partly rehabilitated during the Prague Spring, and many of the émigrés were also active scouts who had begun forming their own organizations in the countries where they now had refuge. However, these were small and isolated groups. Van der Leek and his colleagues were seeking to unite them under one big organization, a goal that was eventually achieved in 1975, says Mr. Pavlovec.
The headquarters of the Federation were in Switzerland, and in Switzerland we had two or three units. Most of the units were active in Germany, where we had maybe five or six active units. Then we had a unit in the Netherlands, and we had a unit in Austria. And this is it mainly. Yeah, we had also connections to isolated scouts from somewhere else that tended to join us during our summer camps.
The isolated groups of scouts seem to have existed in countries such as Sweden, according to oral accounts of the other exile scouts. What followed were the golden years of Czechoslovak exile scouting. Despite all the obstacles of distance, groups of Czech scouts were now meeting and organising camps. One of its members was Martin Gelnar, a child at the time whose parents were among the 20,000 or so Czechoslovaks that decided to emigrate to Switzerland after 1968.
For us young kids, it was really something unique. I can remember taking part in World Jamboree, as they called it, a global gathering of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, which in the year of 1975 took place in Norway, and we were able to take part in that, about 20 guys from Switzerland and about as many from Germany, and, you know, everything that went with it, like trading badges and visiting other camps, you know, making friends with people from countries that you've probably never even heard of. It was really fascinating, and I think that was about the highlight in terms of organized Boy Scout movement.
One of his compatriots was Martin Thiel, who was part of a Czechoslovak scout unit in Bavaria in Germany.
My father was in 46 to 48 was a scout in Czechoslovakia. And if he grew up and the Czechoslovak exile scouting was founded in 1975, there was two camps before, in 74 and in 73. There was my brother, and I was on the first exile camp in Bavaria. It was Wellen 1. In 1975. I was 6 years old.
Thiel's entire scouting experience took place in the exile organization, and he eventually became one of the leaders in his local Bavarian unit. He recalls his experiences with great fondness, but says the functioning as a Czech scouting branch in a different country was not always easy.
There was a big problem in our organization because we are not the normal scouts. The Bavarians was a part of the German scouts, but we can't work like normal scouts because we have no one place we are staying. It was whole Bavaria we was living, and we met us on meetings or in the big camp. The big camp was 3 weeks.
It was these annual big camps that would become the central component of Czechoslovak exile scouting. They were a place where the unique Czechoslovak form of scouting could exist, recounts Martin Gelnar.
Czech Boys and Scout movement, I think, had a special feel to it. It had a tradition of its own. I think Czechoslovakia was the second or third country in the world that adopted Scout movement. So their inspiration were all kinds of other people, like the American author Ernest Thompson Seton, who wrote a couple of adventure stories that left a mark on, I think, even global literature. That gave definitely some inspiration. And then the other one would definitely be Foglar, who wrote about something that you could call scout movement or people getting together. Well, at that time it was exclusively young boys who founded so-called clubs.
Alongside these authors, the Czechoslovak exile scouts could also enjoy reading specifically tailored literature for their consumption, thanks to the publishing house Skautská edice, or Scouted, founded by the organization's leaders in 1975. Václav Pavlovec says that in its high times, Scouted was a very active publisher indeed.
Well, in its high time, it was really very active publisher. It was run mainly by Dr. Grantner with his nickname Tipa. He was a gentleman, a senior leader, was of Slovak origin, and he lived in the Netherlands. I met him many times. This Scouted was very active, so there were publications that looked very professionally, handbooks. We had even writers, active writers, that really wrote adventure books for Boy Scouts. I have a few of them. Besides Wellen van der Leek, who wrote rather handbooks and manuals, we had this guy, Dr. Hirat Kuchera. He lived also in the Netherlands, and he was quite a good writer, and he wrote a few adventure books that they were published in a very professional manner. So I would say for 10 years, this Scouted was very active and published lots of very valuable and also very professionally looking material.
Aside from books and tales, there were of course also the real adventures. In the paranoid nature of the Cold War, these could sometimes lead to quite unexpected but humorous encounters. One such story happened to Martin Thiel's scout unit.
Our leaders made a game that he writes some notes that a Czech parachutist land on a field, and we have to help him and have to find him. And he let us some notes in Morse alphabet. So we played the whole game, find him, on the end we win. It was perfect. But we forget to clean one of these messages, and it stayed on the field. And a farmer found it. And he looked at it and said, Morse, it's strange. And he bring it to the police. The police bring it to the German Secret Service. The German Secret Service translate it, find out that there is a Czech parachute on Bavarian forest, and they searched where is the paper from, and they searched our leader, and he have to explain to the German secret forces that it was only a scout game, and he asked where is the spy.
Despite being strung out across wide areas and unable to operate as home-based scouts do, the Czechoslovak exile scouts were sometimes able to join international scout events and corporations. In Bavaria, this took place especially with the local American scouts, made up of children whose parents were usually posted to the country as part of the US military, says Martin Thiel.
Because we are also small, and we doesn't exist because Czechoslovak aboard scouting no one except... But the Boy Scouts of America invite us to the Boy Scouts actions like Spring Campery, Klondike Derby, Eurocamp. And normally we win. We was better than the Americans. Because we was trained in the Scouts method. So Morse is the alphabet, knots and making fire. If it's raining, it's no problem. We was trained for this, so we was better than the Americans, and there was always like a little bit sad that they losing always against us.
Since their country did not officially have its own scout movement, Czechoslovak exile scouts could also run into unique complications solved by in boyish fashion, as Thiel remembers.
We've been on Eurocamp. We've been about 5 organizations of us. It was about 50 Czechoslovak exile scoutings. And we came to the main organization and say, okay, you have the French flag here, you have the German flag here. We like to have the Czech flag too. Then the German came and say, no,
you're part of the German scouting, you're not allowed to have your flag here. So the American Bears Camp say, sorry, the Germans don't allow your flag. So we built a small flag in our camp, and in the night, the German came, about 16, 17-year-old boys, and tried to stole us our Czech flag. It was a big fight. All our small children was fighting against the big German 16, 17-year-old guys. And then the Americans saw that we are a small group and the Germans are so much, they come and help us and we win. And we throw the Germans out of our camp.
Czechoslovak scouts would also meet each other at regular biannual events called auxiliaries, which were started in 1985. These international meetings helped further connect the emigre Czechs, says Martin Thiel.
It was all 2 years, so I met a lot of scouts all over Germany, in Holland, and I have friends there now. I can go through whole Europe and I found an exile scout who I know. Because you've got a scout, a nickname, and if I go there and say, I'm Loda, they say, okay, I know you. We've been together on this auxiliary.
Another specific feature of the summer camps was the regular presence of Velen van der Leek himself. In his 70s and living in Canada, the aging scout leader now functioned more as a nominal presidential figure rather than active organiser. However, he made sure to visit the camps almost every year and pass on his knowledge and experience to the young children.
I was a small boy, but he was funny. He came with the brown trousers in the uniform, and he tells lots of stories about his scouting. He was like our father. He was sitting behind us, was singing with us, and he loved to make a lasso. He was nice.
His compatriot, Václav Pavlovec, remembers that van der Leek would recount the early years of the Czechoslovak scouts during the First Republic.
He was telling us stories at the campfire, stories from 1920 when he started with the first Boy Scouts in the Czech Republic.
Martin Gelnar.
He was a very kind man and he just loved being around people. Very humble and very kind, very understanding and a sort of a kind Indian chieftain that would give you a bit of wisdom around a small glowing fire in a teepee, you know, that kind of sage.
All of the scouts who talked to Radio Prague International agreed that these were some of the best times of their childhood. Nevertheless, as the years went by, the inevitable reality of distance and small numbers again began to make a mark on the exile scouts.
We continued after 1985, but you saw a gradual decline. As the children of the 1968 emigrants, they grew up, and this is a natural process, and they left the organization. Scouts is an organization mainly for children, and this was a natural decline. The development was a little bit inverted or slowed down by the fact that after 1977 there was another emigration wave from Czechoslovakia. This was after the publishing of Carta 1977, and the connected activity of the regime. They set up an initiative called Asanace, and they really tried to get rid of political adversaries of the communist regime. So there was another emigration wave that sort of relieved or reinforced our scout organization. But also these children that came with their parents after 1977, they grew up. And in the late 80s, there was a decline, although we were still active.
The real decisive blow came after the Velvet Revolution of 1989, says Martin Thiel.
After 89, there was a big problem because there was no emigration, so we lost the children, so a lot of the organizations finished. The Bavarian, because we are close to the Czech Republic, we have enough children to 95 and 96, but then it ends.
No longer exiles in a world of free movement, the Exile Scouts organization changed its name after the revolution to Czech and Slovak Scouting Abroad. Gradually, with the rehabilitation of scouting in the Czech Republic and ever fewer children abroad, the camps began closing one by one. The last to do so seems to have been the Vienna-based unit, Bleska, in 2000. Nevertheless, something had been created in the hearts and minds of those who had grown up on exile scouting that could not be so easily erased. The idea of scouting-themed camps remained, at the very least because it helped keep second- and third-generation emigre children in touch with their Czech roots. Martin Gelnar led a Czech and Slovak Scouts Abroad camp in Switzerland during the 2000s. It was much smaller and less formal than those he had grown up on, but it kept the emphasis on learning the skills of scouts as well as important parts of Czech culture, language, literature, and the aforementioned works of Jaroslav Foglar.
We always would sit together around the campfire in a teepee, for instance, and then some occasions we took turns in reading the stories that Jaroslav Foglar wrote, because that's all in the same vein. We, of course, we were steeped in that kind of literature when we were kids, so we would try to, you know, give the same kind of rite of passage almost to our own kids. So these, yeah, one or two or three books even would go around the campfire, and each kid would read a paragraph, which sometimes was even a bit of a challenge because some of these kids couldn't read Czech properly. So that was a very distinct Czech aspect.
Do you think it helped bring about to those Czech children living abroad, you know, second generation Czechs often? Do you think it worked in giving them a feeling of sort of a connection to their original homeland, or was that completely separated?
Yes, I think it did help, in small ways maybe. Like I said, you know, that book used to go around the campfire. And some kids, I know for sure that was, for instance, that was the first time that they ever read anything in Czech. They never, well, they might not have touched a book in some other, you know, some other Western European language, but they had to touch this Czech book and had to try to at least, you know, try to make themselves understand. And a lot of times they really succeeded, and they got hooked on, because those stories are really very well written and very adventurous stories, something that you could get fascinated by.
Another tradition that marked out Czech scouts, which Gelnar was keen on maintaining, was the old tradition of spending these summer camps in so-called botsady tents.
The other very distinct Czech aspect was that Czechoslovakian scouts had a tradition of building their own little huts or tents, which would consist of four wooden walls and a special tarp on top of it, tailor-made. And they would do all by themselves, I mean the wooden walls and then the bunk beds. And that sometimes took, well, 3 to 4 to even 5 days to construct those. And it was always an adventure and lots of bloody fingers and, yeah, those kind of stories around it. But still, I mean, it was really something that everybody remembered. The part that was not so nice about those is that you had to take them apart at the end of the camp. And, yeah, that was the logistics nightmare even, because you had to get all the planks from the sawmill and you had to get the right kind of tarps because others wouldn't fit.
The camp, located in a Swiss national park near the River Rhine, had to be cancelled a few years ago, but Gelnar says there is a chance it could be revived soon.
In fact, just the other week, I received an email from somebody from Czech Republic I didn't know, and he said that he learned from a common acquaintance or friend of ours that we used to organize these summer camps in that region. The camp is called Valenda, and that has become a sort of a signature camp in Switzerland. And now apparently there are people, mostly from Czech Republic, who live here, probably younger people in their maybe 30s, who have little kids who would be interested in sort of taking over. And now we have just today or a couple of days ago, we have agreed on a date to meet at a common friend's place to discuss it. So it might not be over, not yet.
Martin Thiel and his compatriots also organized their own camps. However, as interests and fads of the time changed, they had to incorporate themes from outside the original scouts to keep the fading number of available children interested. This meant that the organization could not be officially recognized as scout camping. Nevertheless, the auxiliary meetups of the old Czech scouts strewn across Europe continue to take place, albeit less frequently. In fact, another auxiliary is planned for 2021, says Thiel, who visited Radio Prague International with his son Christian. The latter is active in European Scouting, an organization inspired by the exile scouts.
One of the founders of our organization, European Scouting, was also like an old exile scout, and he made it in the year 2000. He built the organization European Scouting. And yeah, we are like built on the principles of the exile scouting. Also, to date, we have half of the children are in some connection with the exile scouting.
The current organization has similar benefits to the old exile scouts and Martin Galnar's camp, keeping at least the basic knowledge of the Czech language and culture among the children and grandchildren of Czech emigres. However, it also works both ways, says Martin Thiel, with children from families that have returned to the Czech Republic and therefore do not speak German able to learn from their compatriots. Another legacy of exile scouting are the still ongoing auxiliary international camps, he says.
We made the auxiliary Reloaded, Pod křídly Jestřába. There was about 50, 60 old scouts, and they have children. And we have now in the camp about 5 or 6 children of the old scouts.
More.
We plan more. And we plan next year, it have to be this year, but it will be next year, next auxiliary. And we expect more old scouts. And they will send the children to this scouting because it's the scouting in the old way. It's like Svojsik. There's nothing prepared. We build everything. It's like in the old fashioned. They can remember it and they like to send the children there because they, oh, that was nice.
Christian, do you have anything to add to that?
I would say they're not just about the old scouts in exile. We have also the second generation. They have also children. So they're like grandchildren, which are coming to our camp. So I think it will work and will be bigger and bigger for us.
He's the new generation because the old scouts go away from the organization and now make it the youngers.
Yeah.
Because they have new ideas, they have to change it. And that's really important. And that happened in the exile scout too. There was the old generation who founded 75. In 85 or 86, there was a change of generation. There was younger leaders making new things. Now is the next change, the new generation. So we are only old scouts. We are just looking and be happy that we can build one of these houses.
Whether scouting among Czech emigres and expats does see a proper revival in the coming years or not, the role of its exile predecessor in keeping Czech culture and scouting alive is hard to dispute. It remains an important memory and form of identity among those who formed the original group, with its core features still exciting their descendants today. Velen van der Leek would surely rejoice over the rehabilitation of scouting in the Czech Republic, but it may also have given him pleasure to see that the seeds he planted abroad are still sprouting branches.
It was something special.
I think that the most valuable thing, you know, the stories that the older guys told about the campfire, even a sense of togetherness and friendship, some of these friendships lasted for life. Also being aware that the whole thing wasn't just child's play. Some of the people who founded the exile scouting here in Switzerland or elsewhere in Europe, they were jailed for that. They had to toil in uranium mines just because they were Boy Scouts and had this thought that it would be a valuable thing to do. Just an incredible, incredible thing if you come to think of it.
A beautiful time. I think everybody that was involved in Czech and Slovak exile scouting has lots of fond memories.
And that brings us to the end of today's show. From me, Tom McEncrow, and the whole team here at Radio Prague International, we wish you a lovely rest of the weekend.